It's been a good day already. Jesus has been here, and there's an open heaven over this place today. So the Lord's going to do some wonderful work. Do you believe that? Amen. Matthew 6 and verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your closet. The word there is your vault, your treasure room, your safe room. And close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Let's say the words of the Lord's Prayer together, if you would. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's say the ending, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Since Easter, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount here at Harvest Time. And last week, we began to talk about the centerpiece of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the Lord's Prayer. And we saw that prayer is in the center. The Lord's Prayer is exactly in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. And prayer is in the center of the three acts of worship that Jesus discusses in Matthew chapter 6. The spiritual disciplines of giving and prayer and fasting, they are absolutely essential to our Christian walk, but prayer is in the center. Beloved, prayer is central to my walk with Jesus Christ. Prayer is central to my maintaining obedience to Christ. Prayer is central to my staying spiritually alive. Prayer is how I stay connected to the vine. Prayer is how I stay in step with the Spirit. Prayer is central to my participation in the kingdom of God on earth. Prayer is central to my whole purpose for being. I was created for sonship. I was created for intimate relationship with God. I was created for communion with Him, for conversation with Him. When I pray, I am manifesting the fullest expression of my personhood. Prayer is central to my peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on thee. Prayer is central to my productivity. Prayer is central to my prosperity. Prayer is central to my protection. Prayer is in the center of everything. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, Jesus talks about motives for prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to be seen by men. Whether we're praying alone or whether we're praying along with others, we are always praying to an audience of one, and that is our Father. Whenever we pray, and wherever we pray, and with whomever we pray, the goal is to enter into a secret place of intimate communion with God. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Jesus talks about methods of prayer. When you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Beloved, God is not hard of hearing. God does not need to be informed, and he doesn't need to be persuaded. He's already aware of my needs. He's already aware of my situation. He's already aware of my weaknesses, and he's already inclined to help me. The purpose of prayer is to express my trust in his faithful love. The purpose of prayer is to express my trust that he knows best and that he is working on my best behalf. Beloved, so many times it seems to us like what has happened is a setback, but the setbacks are really God's setups for our advance. Joseph's pit was not a setback, it was a divine setup. Potiphar's wife was not a setback, it was a divine setup. The prison was a divine setup. The purpose of prayer is to align my thinking to God's perfect will. Beloved, prayer is not just talking at God. Prayer is listening to God. In prayer, I hear His voice speaking into my life. In prayer, I hear His voice speaking into my situation. In prayer, I receive His counsel. I receive His wisdom. So many times after I have prayed, a flood of creative ideas come to me. Solutions to problems come to me. Things that I hadn't thought of before, and I know it's my Father speaking into my life. Beloved, listen, don't take something that God intended to be very simple and make it difficult. Don't take something that God intended to be very basic and make it unnatural. Don't try to impress God with your eloquence. He has a bigger vocabulary than you. Don't try to impress God with a pious pose. When you pray, just pour out your heart to your Father. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 14, Jesus gives us His model prayer. Without question, this is the most familiar, the most beloved, the most celebrated and recited prayer in the history of mankind. But last week we received a challenge from the Holy Spirit. Don't just say the Lord's Prayer. Learn how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Most of us here can say the Lord's Prayer from memory. In fact, most of us learned it. We memorized it when we were just little kids. But I wonder if we have really comprehended the meaning of the words. You know, kids repeat words all the time without really knowing their meaning. A while back ago, I was riding in the car with my kids, and I noticed that my little Maddie had that expression on her face that told me she was working overtime on something. I could see the steam pouring out of her ears. And finally she piped up and she said to me, "Daddy, what's a neck down?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "What's a neck down?" And I said, "Honey, I don't know what you're talking about." And she said, "Yesterday we heard a story about a girl who jumped into the water and she got paralyzed by the neck down." She thought that there was, you know, something lurking in the water called a neck down that caused paralysis. I said, no, honey. I said, she hit her head on the bottom and she got paralyzed from the neck down. And all of a sudden I saw the light bulb go on in her head. Oh. Beloved, it's time for the light bulb to come on with the Lord's Prayer. It's time for us to understand what this prayer really is. It's time for us to understand the meaning of its words. See, Jesus intended the Lord's Prayer to be something so much more exciting than what it has become for most of Christendom. Jesus never intended for the Lord's Prayer to be memorized and then recited from rote. He never intended it to become a formula or a means of racking up brownie points with God by saying it as often as we can. In fact, using the Lord's Prayer that way is the precise countermand of Matthew 6:7. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. They think that they might earn something by saying so many words. Beloved, the Lord's Prayer is something so much more beautiful than that. The Lord's Prayer is an invitation for us to enter into Jesus' own prayer life. If you read through the Gospels, you'll find Jesus always up on a mountain or down in a garden praying, and the Lord's Prayer reveals what He was praying. It reveals the contents of Jesus' own prayer life. It reveals Jesus' priorities in prayer, His pattern in prayer. It reveals the secret of His power in prayer. The Lord's Prayer is meant to draw us into Jesus' own prayer closet. It's meant to draw us into Jesus' own secret place of intimate communion with the Father. The Lord's Prayer is divided into two halves, just like the Ten Commandments, just like the eight beautiful attitudes that we studied. Many of Paul's letters are divided the same way. The first half is directed Godward, and the second half is directed manward. There are six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. The first three are concerned with God's earthly work. The second three are concerned with my earthly needs. We already talked about that great opening line, "Our Father in heaven." This is an amazing juxtaposition of two concepts that seem incongruous, really. Abba means dear father. It's an intimate term of address. Abba enthroned. Daddy God. One of my favorite images that conveys to me what our Father in heaven means is this one. The most powerful man on earth sitting in the most powerful chair on earth. And at his feet is his little son. Everyone else called him Mr. President. But John called him my daddy. Our Father in heaven, Daddy God. The first half of the Lord's Prayer is made up of three petitions that go something like this. Daddy God, let your name be glorified here on earth just like it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come here on earth just like in heaven. Let your will be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. Those words, on earth as it is in heaven, they apply to all three petitions. When I was growing up in the Presbyterian Church in the early 70s, there was a popular song going around, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." And that's the way to understand these first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Father, let your name be glorified on earth and let it begin with me. Let your kingdom come and let it begin with me. We talked about that first petition last week, "Hallowed be thy name." It's a request that my life brings God glory. Jesus, the first priority of prayer when Jesus got into the presence of the Father was to pray, "Father, let my life bring you glory. Let everything I say, let everything I do cause men to turn their eyes up towards you." And that's our call too, to bring him glory. Now I want to talk about that next petition. "Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Another way to say it might be something like this. Father, let my life release your atmosphere-changing authority on earth. Before we can really pray these words sincerely and intelligently, we have to know what it is we're talking about. What does Jesus mean when he says, "Father, let your kingdom come"? Very quickly, I want to share three things to know about the kingdom. Three things to know about the kingdom. The first one is this. The kingdom is the zone of God's authority and supernatural activity. The kingdom is the zone of God's authority and his supernatural activity. The kingdom of God is his dominion. It is his reign. Beloved, the kingdom of God doesn't refer to a place. It's not a geographical place that can be found here on earth or in heaven. The kingdom of God refers to the kingship of God. 15 years ago this week, Denise and I moved here to Harvest Time Church from Springfield, Missouri. And if you talk about our 15-year pastorate here, you're not referring about the Harvest Time Church campus. You're not talking about a church building. You're talking about our ministry here. Our pastorate means our leadership of this congregation. It means the care that we've given. It means the prayers that we've prayed, the ministry that we have done, teaching and preaching and baptizing and counseling. Pastor Nick describes pastoral ministry this way. It's hatching, matching, and dispatching. When you talk about our pastorate here, it doesn't mean a church building. It means our leadership. And in the same way, the kingdom of God does not refer to a geographical place. It means God's leadership activities. We talk about the reign of Queen Elizabeth, or the presidency of Barack Obama, or the administration of Mayor Bloomberg. The kingdom is the reign of King Yahweh. It's the exercise of His authority. It's His leadership over those who belong to Him. It's His care for His own people. It's the protection of His own citizens. It's the ministries on behalf of those He loves. John the Baptist and Jesus came preaching and they announced the arrival of the kingdom. They said, repent, get your hearts ready, turn to God. The authority of the King of Kings is about to overshadow you. The supernatural activity of the King of Kings is about to begin in your midst. Beloved, the kingdom of God is the perimeter of His authority. I don't know whether you've ever been on an accident scene or whether you've ever been at a crime scene, but when the police arrive on the scene, the first thing they do is they establish a perimeter. They take out that yellow tape and they string it around and they establish a perimeter, and within that perimeter, they are in complete control. They are in charge. No one is allowed to encroach. No one is allowed to interfere. They are in complete control of the activity within that perimeter. In the same way, when I pray, Father, let your kingdom come, I'm praying, Father, establish around me a perimeter of your authority so that the enemy cannot encroach, so that the enemy cannot come and he cannot interfere. Father, establish a perimeter around my children, around my house, around my family, around my affairs, where you are in complete control. The kingdom is the zone of His supernatural activity. Everywhere you go, any road you turn down this time of year, you're bound to run into a construction zone, an area that is marked off and there's activity. Maybe not so much activity, but there's supposed to be activity going on there. And the kingdom is the zone of God's supernatural activity. It's the area where He is at work. He's making big changes. He's making improvements. He's making repairs. He's enlarging and He's expanding. When I pray, Father, let your kingdom come, I'm saying, Father, let the zone of your supernatural activity come around me. The kingdom is the precinct of His peace. Chaos is forbidden there. Confusion is forbidden there. Clamor is forbidden there. Maybe you've been in a neighborhood somewhere in Manhattan and you've seen a sign like this: unnecessary noise prohibited. When I say, Father, let your kingdom come, I say, Father, let the precinct of your peace come around me, and the enemy's confusion and the enemy's chaos and the enemy's clamor, it can't bother me. Lord, set up a sphere around me where there is no unnecessary noise. When I say, let your kingdom come, I'm saying, Father, let your authority and your activity come. The second thing to know is this. Three things to know about the kingdom. The second thing is this. The kingdom comes only in the person of Jesus. The kingdom of God comes only in the person of Jesus. The kingdom of God on earth, it begins and it continues and it ends with Jesus. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and He's everything in between. The kingdom of earth came in the person, the kingdom of God came to earth in the person of Jesus. The kingdom was His mission. The kingdom was the content of His ministry. He heralded its coming. His gospel was the gospel of the kingdom. He commissioned His followers to continue its advance. He promised it would be consummated someday. And wherever Jesus went, His presence manifested the kingdom. His authoritative proclamations released the kingdom. His intercessory prayers released the kingdom. His revelatory preaching released the kingdom. His powerful miracles released the kingdom. His prophetic declarations released the kingdom. His pardon of sinners released the kingdom. The propitiation he made on the cross established the kingdom. The kingdom came in the person and the work of Jesus. And the kingdom of God only comes to people through Jesus. Beloved, the kingdom is personal and it's spiritual. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God, Paul wrote, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is the inward rule of God over my heart and his rule over my whole person. It's his leadership in my life. It's his authority and his activity in my life. And all of this comes only to those who believe in Jesus. It comes only to those who receive Jesus. Only to those who humbly receive his words, who accept his forgiveness, who receive his help, who embrace his leadership. In him was life, John wrote. And that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gave power. Where is the kingdom of God? It's not confined to Jerusalem or Israel. It's not confined to any church building or even in heaven. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is gladly received. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is highly esteemed, wherever he's deeply desired and gladly received, wherever he's wholly honored, wherever he's worshiped and obeyed and boldly proclaimed as Lord. That's where God sets up his perimeter. That's where God sets up the zone of his activity and the precinct of his peace. Can I tell you, you are in a kingdom zone right here. The reason you're in a kingdom zone is not because this is a church building, but the reason you're in a kingdom zone is because in this church building, we celebrate Jesus as Lord. In this kingdom, we honor. In this church building, we honor him. In this church building, we boldly proclaim that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And because of it, God has set up a perimeter of authority and a zone of supernatural activity. Right here. One day, the kingdom of God will come to the whole earth through the person of Jesus. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom. The work of the kingdom continues in the hearts of those who receive him. But someday, Jesus is physically coming again. And when he does, his kingship will cover the entire earth. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's an element of that cry that looks forward to a definitive moment in history when Jesus comes on a white horse and everything in creation falls down on its knees and says, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let thy kingdom come means, Lord, let the day come when all flesh submits to your leadership. Let the day come when you vanquish evil from the earth. Let the day come when your justice prevails, when evildoers are punished and the righteous are rewarded. Let your day come when oppression ceases, when peace comes to the earth. Father, let your kingdom come. The kingdom. It's the authority and activity of God. It comes only through the person of Jesus. And a third thing to know about the kingdom, and I couldn't be better with my timing here. Listen, everybody listen. It's raining out, all right? Look at the rain. You've seen it before. Okay, looks the same from inside the glass as it does outside the glass. All right, listen to me, because this is divine timing right here. The kingdom of God causes a dramatic atmosphere change whenever and wherever and to whomever it comes. Beloved, listen to me. When the kingdom of God shows up, When the kingdom of God shows up, there is a dramatic confrontation and there is an atmosphere change. And there's no better time of the year to illustrate that than the dog days of August. You know what I'm talking about. Hazy, hot, humid day. The air is heavy. Your clothes feel like lead weights. It's hard to breathe. The atmosphere is oppressive. And all of a sudden from the west, you see big billowing clouds coming. And you know what that means. You know that a cold front is on the way. And when the cold front collides with that hot, humid, oppressive air, there is a conflict in the atmosphere. The wind picks up. The sky lights up. Don't worry, we have a whole row of lightning rods on the roof of the building here. We're going to be fine. The heavens open up. Things shake up. When those two fronts collide with one another, there is explosive activity in the atmosphere. Denise and I woke up a few days ago, and we opened our blinds, and there were huge branches down everywhere in our yard over at the parsonage. And I said, there must have been some humdinger of a storm that came through. But after that, oh, the change in the atmosphere. The air is clean and cool, and it's comfortable. You can breathe freely again. You can move easily again. And beloved, listen to me. Listen, this is a supernatural sign and a wonder right now, because that is exactly what happens when the kingdom of God comes. The authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords confronts the oppressive regime of the prince of this world. The kingdom of God comes against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan that holds this world in its grip. And when the kingdom of God collides with the kingdom of darkness, things light up, things get shaken up. But oh, the change in the atmosphere that occurs. See, Jesus, his very presence manifested the kingdom of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought this authority of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought this supernatural activity of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he confronted the darkness. And everywhere he went, he caused a dramatic atmosphere change. Demons could not stay when Jesus came near. Sickness couldn't stick around when Jesus came near. Pain could not remain when Jesus came near. Depression couldn't dilly-dally. Addictions couldn't stay attached to people when Jesus came near. He brought an atmosphere change in people's personal lives. Outcasts became loved. Despised people became desirable. Marginalized people became kingdom movers and shakers. Weary people became energized. Bored people became animated. Dirty people became clean. Sexually immoral people became saints. Greedy people became generous. Imagine that. Entitled people became grateful. Proud people became servants. Oppressors became liberators. When Jesus came near to people, he caused a confrontation and he caused an atmosphere change in their lives. When Jesus went into people's houses, he caused an atmosphere change. When he went into Peter's house, the atmosphere changed from sickness to wholeness. When he went into Jairus' house, the atmosphere changed from death to life. When he went into Zacchaeus' house, the atmosphere changed from dissatisfaction to salvation. When he went into Mary and Martha's house, the atmosphere changed from frustration to adoration. When he went into Lazarus' house, the atmosphere changed from stinky to sweet. Can I tell you, some of us need Jesus to come and bring an atmosphere change in our homes. Yes. Some of us need Jesus to come near and to change. Some of us, we got a stinky atmosphere in our house. You've been frying fish in the kitchen. Some of us, the atmosphere of our home, there's conflict. There's frustration there. In some of our homes, the atmosphere is death. And Jesus wants to come and he wants to bring an atmosphere change and bring life and wholeness and joyfulness to your house. The Bible says the sound of joyful shouting and salvation are in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Not angry shouting. I like this one. When Jesus stepped into Peter's boat, he changed the atmosphere of his business. Peter was broke. But when Jesus stepped into his boat, all of a sudden business was booming. We're praying over every business that's represented by the people of this congregation, and especially for you who own your own businesses. Guess what? God is not bothered at all by this economy. How many of you know we're under the economy of heaven, not under the economy of man? Jesus changed the atmosphere of the wilderness from barrenness to a banqueting table. He changed the atmosphere of the sea from stormy to still. He changed the atmosphere of Samaria from sarcastic to sincere. He changed the atmosphere of Judea from religious to truly righteous. He changed the atmosphere of the temple from profiteering to prayer. He changed the atmosphere of Jerusalem from oppression to praise and from disbelief to devotion. And beloved, the Lord's Prayer gives us the secret to Jesus' atmosphere-changing power. Every time he went to the Father in prayer, he prayed, "Father, let thy kingdom come. Father, let my life release that atmosphere-changing authority on the earth today." What would happen if you and I started praying that same way? You see, beloved, as disciples of Jesus, our call is to be kingdom releasers. As followers of Jesus, our call is to be darkness confronters. Our call is to be atmosphere changers. Jesus called together his 12 and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. And Jesus said to them, "Go now." He said, "Go to homes, go to hamlets, go to towns, go to cities and announce to them that the kingdom of God has come to you. Heal the sick, drive out demons, cleanse the lepers and leave your peace there." Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said to his disciples and to every one of us, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. As the Father has commissioned me to release his kingdom on earth, now I commission you to go and preach this gospel of the kingdom." Jesus is saying, "You are now authorized to go release the kingdom. Go and make prophetic declarations that bring life to dry bones. Go and make authorized proclamations. The kingdom of God has come here. Go and preach. Go and prophesy. Go and pray prayers of intercession and bring that perimeter of his authority, that zone of his activity and the precinct of his peace everywhere you go." What would happen if I stopped saying the Lord's Prayer and I really started praying it? What would happen if each new day I started praying, "Father, give me the ability to release the divine authority and activity of the King of Kings everywhere I go today, in my home, in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in Greenwich, The kingdom of Greenwich is now the kingdom of the Lord and of His Christ. In Stamford, in Fairfield County, in Westchester County, in New York City. What would happen if I started praying each new day, Father, give me the ability in Christ to release people from Satan's oppressive rule today. Father, let my life manifest your authority over sickness today. Father, let my life manifest your authority over disease today, over cancer today. Father, let my life manifest your authority over depression and despair and anxiety today. Father, let my life manifest your authority over addiction today in the name of Jesus. What would happen if I started each new day by praying, Father, give me the ability to produce atmosphere change on the earth? How many of you know God is still in the atmosphere changing business? The disciples went in the authority Jesus gave them, and they brought atmosphere change in Antioch, in Ephesus, in Colossae, in the region of Galatia, in Pamphylia, in Philippi, Cyprus, Crete, in Rome, in Spain, Africa, India, Asia. How many of you know that His atmosphere-changing power is still at work in the world today? He's still changing atmosphere of people's lives. He's still changing atmospheres in homes. He's still changing atmospheres in whole cities. Do you know that's true? Denise and I moved here 15 years ago. And 15 years ago or more, Times Square was not a place that you wanted to be. It was dirty. It was run down. Sex shops, it was not a place you'd want to take your little kids, for sure. But over the last 15 years, Times Square has undergone a tremendous transformation. In fact, the whole world has looked at it. Other cities, other global cities have looked at the transformation of Times Square, and they've tried to replicate what they did to revitalize their own decaying inner city areas. And they scratch their heads and they say, well, what is it that has brought this dramatic change? Is it the change in traffic patterns? They've closed down roads. They've added biking lanes. They've put chairs and tables out for people. And there's studies that have been done. What is it that has brought this remarkable transformation to the Times Square area? And how can we duplicate it? Can I tell you, it wasn't closing down roads. That's just irritating. And bike lanes are irritating too. Yeah, watch yourself. You get run over. About 15 years ago or more, there was a man named David Wilkerson. He just went home to be with Jesus a few weeks ago. And he has a little church on Times Square called Times Square Church. And about 15 years ago or so, they decided to get together on Tuesday evenings and begin praying for one thing, for atmosphere change. And they began crying out, God, change the atmosphere in Times Square. God, change the atmosphere in Manhattan. God, change the atmosphere in New York City. Amazing thing happened. Republican mayor got voted in a mostly Democratic city, and he decided to kick the sex shops out from Times Square and move them blocks away. Crime fell through the floor in New York City, and businesses started returning to Times Square. People started returning to Times Square, and they began to call it the crossroads of the world. Now it's the place to go when you're in New York City. There was an atmosphere change. And they can study all the physical changes they want. But I will tell you what brought the atmosphere change was the prayers of a group of people on their knees who said, Father, let thy kingdom come. What would happen if you and I started praying like that? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come. Stand together with me and let's give glory to Jesus in this place. Come on, lift up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Let's just begin to honor him. Come on, even before the music plays, just lift up your hands and just begin to give praise to Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, O Lord. Come on, church, would you love on him? We worship you, O Lord. Give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, O Lord. 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 Father, let your kingdom come. I announce to you that this is the perimeter of his authority, that this is the zone of his supernatural activity, that this is the precinct of his peace. I wonder who is here today and you need an atmosphere change in your life. Maybe you're sick in your body and you need an atmosphere change in your body. Maybe you need an atmosphere change in your home, in your family, in your kids. Maybe your grandkids need an atmosphere change. Maybe you need an atmosphere change in your business, in your finances. Maybe there's just some place that's on your heart that needs an atmosphere change. I want to invite you to just get out of your seat and come down here, and we're going to come and we're going to release the authority of Jesus in this place. That's going to bring an atmosphere change, a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness that leaves the atmosphere changed. Come on, sing with me while you come. How great is